Okay, got to talk about this. The PPP money, the Payment Paycheck Protection Program. There, I said it. I don't know about you, but I find it a little fascinating, a little interesting to find out who's getting all the PPP money. The government loans, of course, that convert to grants, that if you meet the criteria and that kind of thing. We heard Kanye yesterday was getting it for his clothing company. You've heard about big Wall Street firms and hedge funds and that kind of thing. They're getting it. Major League sports teams. And today we learned bands like Pearl Jam are getting the money. And I just feel like, look, if you're keeping people employed, if you're truly paying people to try to, you know, keep the business afloat, keep the lights on, that seems like that's what it was intended for. Unfortunately, I just feel like there are some companies that are using this as a cash grab. There's a story today about a Wendy's operator who diverted $1 million of the Paycheck Protection Program loans to finance his swanky home in Montana. And, it just feels like there's a lot that's been given out, and it was given out very quickly. You also heard early on that it was all the well-funded sort of publicly traded companies and big that had a lot of resources like Potbelly's and Ruth's Chris that took the money. Some later returned it when it was figured out that maybe that's not what it was intended for. I feel like, you know, it's about small businesses. That's why it was administered through the Small Business Association to keep companies afloat, get them through this crisis, ones that were struggling through it all, and keep employees getting a paycheck. That's why it's called the Paycheck Protection Program. I mean, they're shut down through no fault of their own. These are extremely tough times for so many industries, and they needed that boost to keep them going and be able to emerge from this with some sort of business. So the Treasury Department just released the list, and it's a searchable database if you want to go look at it. I think they're only releasing right now, though, those who got more than $150,000. The smaller numbers are still, I don't know that that's publicly available. Maybe that's going to come out soon. But the majority actually fall into that lower amount. 80% of the loans that were given out were lower than that. And my guess is those companies probably absolutely needed it. You know, you think about it, those are truly small businesses. They took, a month of your expenses, and there's some sort of way of determining it based on that. So there's truly small companies, you know, there's no doubt. It probably made all the difference in the world. The CEO of Devon Bank here in Chicago just was quoted in the Sun-Times today saying, "This helped a lot of people, period. Full stop." So he has personal experience with sitting down with these business owners, and a lot of them are small business owners. They're not sort of the publicly traded company types. He says it really, really helps. But there's this ethical conversation around it all, too, is just who got it. And there are members of Congress who have companies, and it seems like very politically politically connected companies or had no problem getting it and seem to be getting a lot of it. And is that all okay? Well, I want to talk to the guy who, when no one knew anything about this PPP, he joined the show and we were trying to figure out what it is. And he was actually guiding his clients into help getting this. One of the very successful guys who was able to do that early on when the money, remember the first batch ran out, he was able to sort of get his small businesses here in the Chicago area to get the kind of help they needed. So Ashley Brandt is a partner at Goldstein and McClintock. Ashley, thanks for calling back into the show. Good to hear from you. Good to talk with you.
Great to be here.
So tell me just your reaction to, you know, this whole thing that people are sort of questioning who gets it. Are you kind of the mindset where you believe that, no, this really 99 or a huge number of the people who got it really deserved it, really is helping keep the lights on and pay your employees and what this is intended for?
I'm with you. I think the bigger realization many people are probably going to come to right now is that the Small Business Administration doesn't necessarily mean what people think it means. You know, the size standards that the SBA publishes are probably a bit larger than what most people might think of as small. If you equate small to your local, your local corner store, that's not what the SBA is for. And it's certainly, this program didn't just adhere to the size standards for the SBA, which can be anywhere from $1 million in gross receipts all the way up to, 35, 40, 50 million for some businesses, but also, 500 employees up to 2,000 employees in many different categories and codes of businesses. You hit it right on the head in the beginning. There are requirements for spending this money for employees to get the money directly to people if you want to get this loan forgiven. So if you've taken this money and diverted it to other funds and not met the standards that the SBA established for giving it to employees. So it was 75% when we started. It's now been amended to 60% of this money has to be passed through to employees. The other 40% needs to go to your actual business expenses. If you're not meeting that criteria, you're not going to have that money, for the most part, forgiven, and there are going to be problems. Like the guy in Montana that you talked about, that's going to be an issue for him, most likely. He'll probably have to pay that money back, and if he violated the standards, there'll be even worse penalties.
You think they're going to go through, though? You believe the government has got so much to do right now, but are they going to go like the IRS does and go back and check all of these, that people are going to really, we're going to start seeing them in trouble or face some sort of charges for taking this money when they didn't deserve it?
Yeah, there are limits for the size of loans that they're going to look at, and you've already seen that, 27% of the loans that were given, so over a quarter of the loans, those were under the $150,000. Those are not going to be on anybody's radar unless the banks that lent decide to raise a flag about them. Those are not things that are going to be audited, but they will go back and look at these loans and at least have some form of record keeping and accountability for the larger ones that people are talking about.
But you're saying that they won't be forgiven unless they did use it for the stand. They meet the standards that you said: 60% passed on to your employees for their paychecks, and 40% for legit business expenses, not swanky Montana homes. But what if you don't want it forgiven? It's still a 1% loan, and I think the knock has been that like hedge funds and Wall Street firms that know exactly what they're doing and probably don't need all that much help through all this. Maybe some do, but then some don't. Are actually sort of using this to say, hey, you know what? So what if it converts to a 1% loan? That seems like better than I could get out there anyway. Is that an okay, acceptable way to use this?
I'd be against that if it weren't for the fact that this program has been extended and it's not out of money. I think there's a real issue here with the fact that we've got a long-term problem right now with no foreseeable solution to COVID. The eight-week program that this is supposed to represent funds for, right? This loan, when it gets made, is supposed to be for 8 weeks of payroll and other expenses. We've gone through that. The people who applied this program for the CARES Act was passed March 27th. People applied right away. People got money. Many people spent the money before they even got and heard that now they've changed the standards from 75% to 60% mm-hmm. and extended the ability to use this money over the course of 26 weeks as opposed to 8 weeks. And those were all good steps, but now that we realize the problem is a much longer one, these are things, the hedge fund issues and, unworthy or improper uses, that can all be corrected through a method of extending this program and making more funds available to people, because whether it's, right now or during a second wave or sometime in the future, these hospitality industries, especially the industries where you were allowed to have more than 500 employees per location and where you could be, a large company, all the things like caterers, food service, cafeterias, hotels, casinos, all those businesses are really going to suffer again if, like we're seeing in Texas and Arizona and other places that want to claw back and close down. I mean, if the response from here on out is that we will close when we see a spike, and this is going to be the open, close, open, close, open, close, parade of horribles mm-hmm. that people predicted back in April, then the government needs to step up and ensure that they are extending this program, expanding it, and making it available to the small businesses that are going to be affected. And if they want to then add some form of curtailment on the abuses, that's the perfect time to do it.
So in terms of you and your clients, has this been a lifesaver? How would you describe what you're hearing from the folks that you've helped guide through this process?
This is absolutely. So I represent clients mainly in the hospitality, food and beverage. I represent a lot of brewers and quite a few people in the construction industry as well, but also distillers, wineries, breweries, bars and restaurants. This has been hands down saving grace. And quite frankly, the problem with it is only in the fact that we did not anticipate, or maybe we did anticipate and just did an eight-week program that could be expanded later, but I don't think anyone anticipated what this was going to look like for the foreseeable future, and no one put in place a solution that's probably the 18-month to two-year program that we need to have in place until there's either some form of vaccine or there's some other way to help it handle this type of virus.
Right, because they're nowhere near, your clients, nowhere near full capacity. They've just recently been allowed to reopen, and so many concerns there, right? Hey, Ashley, can you hang on just a second here? I want to pick it up on the other side and just ask you a little more about, you said that some of it's unclaimed and there's still opportunities to get it. Let's talk about that in just a second here with Ashley Brand. He's a partner at Goldstein & McClintock. This is Anna DeVlantis. It's Anna here on WGN. We've been talking about the Payment Protection Program. Do you have any thoughts about this? Any questions? You know somebody who's taken it? You have anything you want to know about it, this is the time to ask. 312-981-7200. Here's one. 847, my employer, a dentist office, paid us 60% of our salary with the PPP. We would have been better off collecting unemployment. We couldn't then. What did he do with the remaining? I hear this a lot, and I guess I just don't know what the rules are there. Ashley Brand has been on with us. He is a partner at Goldstein & McClintock, and early on when it seemed like only the publicly traded companies were getting this money, and a lot of them did, he was able to successfully guide his small businesses here in Chicago in the hospitality industry into getting it. When you hear that, Ashley, what do you think about that? Was there a requirement about how much of your salary you could pay the employees? Does that matter at all?
You were allowed to dip down. I feel bad for dentists to begin with. The American Dental Association, I think, was one of the first ones out of the bat that said, look, we recommend you guys just shut down and close your offices for a time. And I don't remember off the top of my head if they were on the initial exempted list of businesses that could be open, but many dentist offices chose to close. So these people were probably in a horrible situation of chasing either unemployment or taking a salary. That question raised two important issues. One, this limits issue, and yes, employers were allowed to for the time being, lower the salaries to a certain extent. I can't remember if it was down to 75% or 60%, depending upon how far down you went. It would impact the amount of forgiveness, so it wasn't a complete bar. So, yes, employers were allowed to decrease the salaries and push people below a certain threshold, and it would just impact the amount of forgiveness. But the flip side of it was that very interesting point, and this is something people are going to deal with anecdotally for ages to come, because it was a very interesting social experiment about the $600 extra a week that the CARES Act put into the unemployment program.
Right.
And that, for a lot of people, especially servers and wait staff, bartenders, many people making minimum wage, that's a huge amount of money that was made available in part, as an excess of what was normally part of a state unemployment system benefit.
More than what they were normally making. I think it was 50% of workers who were on unemployment were getting more on unemployment with that $600 boost than they would have if they returned to their jobs. Now, doesn't that all sort of go away July 31st? Do you know about that? And then they would have to...
It absolutely... Anna, you're entirely right. It absolutely goes away July 31st unless it gets extended, unless they take some time. And I would be surprised if there isn't a fix or a patch for this, because, while we have seen unemployment rates start to fall, I think everyone can anticipate that open, close as a pattern means that this problem isn't going away. And while the actual filings for new unemployment claims have gone down, the amount of unemployment, while it's decreasing, is still at an all-time high.
And you certainly see that if you're dealing with hospitality, clients, that they're definitely going to be dealing with this coming up in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Every friend I have who is a bartender is someone who right now, if they're not getting the shifts they need, is definitely relying on what the government has done here to help out.
I don't know about you, Ashley, but I do miss the bartenders. I really do. That's one of the things I miss the most. Hey, hang on just a second, Ashley. I got Robin wants to weigh in here. Robin, go ahead. You got thoughts about this? Hey, Robin, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I took out the PPP loan. I was one of those fortunate people that I was one of the first ones in at the 8-week period, and told that I had to use the money right away. So I did. Panicked with the staff. I called all my camp staff, and it was college kids, and I said, listen, I'm going to be paying you for all of 10 weeks right now, and then when we finally start camp in June, you're not going to get a paycheck because I don't have any idea on how I'm going to make the payroll at that point. So that was fine. But is when I took it out, it was 75%, 25%. When I finished everything after the 8 weeks and I used every single penny, mine was about 90% payroll and 10% miscellaneous. When I looked at this easy pay, this easy form that I just did, when I got all done with it, and, you know, not an accountant, so I didn't look for, when I got all done with it, it looked like the part that was the miscellaneous is not going to be forgiven. Hmm. Am I doing it wrong?
All right, let's ask Ashley that. That's a perfect question for you, Ashley. You would know the answer to that.
I'd have to see the form and take a look at it, but that the miscellaneous
was expended. Are you familiar with the easy form? You know the
right. If it was supposed to be easy, right?
It's never
easy. If it was expended on the actual expenses that are allowed, the things like mortgage payments, rent,
sure, exactly,
utilities. Then those were supposed to be forgiven. Those are not supposed to be exempted.
Right, and as I did all the numbers, and I thought, you know, easy peasy, if nothing else. I mean, and I, you know, I was so bummed because, you know, here we were doing everything the right way we were supposed to do, 8 weeks possible, and not a dime left over at the end of the 8 weeks, saying, oh, great, we did it the right way, and now they, you know, extended it for everybody else. And they said, oh, isn't that great for you? I said, well, that's great, but we don't have any money left, and, you know, now we're back. But when I did the easy form, that's what I looked at, and I thought, wait a second, I'm not going to go do all this and then have something not be, you know, forgiven. I called the bank, and the bank said, you know, they weren't even dealing with it at this point.
Hey,
and I thought, do I have to wait until October?
Robin, can I ask you a question?
Good, thank you.
How is your business now? Are you reopening?
Terrible.
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 Yeah.
We have 35 children. I have a child care center. We have 35 children. We're licensed for 130.
And yeah, that doesn't keep the lights on, right?
No.
And you could probably only get open if you said you were hosting the children of essential workers.
If I had closed, and now a friend of mine got the PPP loan, the second round, and didn't pick the money up because apparently, I don't know what this ramifications were, but somebody said, don't worry about it. You know, in the works, it was coming. She just picked it up about 3 weeks ago, and so now she doesn't have to open till August, mm-hmm, and so now it's fine. So for her, it's perfect. And I went, love you and hate you.
Hey, Robin, can we connect you with my producer? Maybe Ashley be gracious enough to kind of help out there a little bit to see if he
certainly
can answer the questions.
Certainly. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And I wish you the best in the road ahead, as we all don't know what's to come.
Thanks.
But, oh, my gosh. There is so much here. Hey, Ashley, tell me this here. We have another one. 708, is if your employer got PPP in the first round, will they be able to get it again to keep the business open? Is that something that they've talked about, or is it a reality yet?
The reality right now is no. You get your 8 weeks, and that's it. So the hope would be that this program gets extended, gets expanded, and more money is made available for these businesses, because just like that last caller said, mm-hmm, 8 weeks is not enough. It has not even gotten us close to the end. And if the point is that we were going to step in and help out here as a government, it is absolutely paramount that help continue.
Well, and you think about it, the entertainment industry, you think about performers and theater group, you know, theaters and, you know, anything that involves any kind of a group at all. I mean, there is nothing on the horizon that brings their business back and makes it whole for a long time, according to the state guidelines. So it seems like you're exactly right on that. You know, let me ask something here, Ashley. Why does it seem like there are so many clout-heavy people on the list here? We've got, you know, you've got, like, the people who have members of Congress and all their family members seem to have businesses. Those stories are all over the place right now. You've got, you know, here locally, you've got the Verdoliak Law Group, you know, headed by former Alderman Edward Verdoliak. He got between $1 million and $2 million. Law firms, were they obviously were heavily impacted during this. I guess they would qualify for that kind of a loan.
Yeah, most businesses with under 500 employees qualify. So it is not a question of, you know, the large businesses with over 500 per site were the ones in the hospitality and entertainment sector that meet the right standards. Everybody else, provided you met and had, you met those size standards for the SBA or were under 500, you were allowed to get it.
Even if you could, even if you didn't really, like, let's say you're one of those businesses that was doing something that did not really get impacted by this whole scenario, and there aren't that many of those, but if you were in that sort of, if your business was in that category, could you still apply for it and you were still legal and perfectly okay to collect it?
Provided you made some small statement that you were impacted, and I don't think there's any business that couldn't make the statement, right? I mean, that it's not a high standard.
Right, well, that's
then,
true.
Then you would get it. There were other programs that these businesses are in no way, shape, or form, you know, qualified for, like the Emergency Disaster Relief Program. Many states, local communities, I heard one the other day about, you know, a community group in Pilsen even that walked around and gave out grants to street vendors to try and help them.
Nice.
You know, those types of programs all had different qualifications where people who did not mm-hmm. get forced to shut down and weren't in dire need were impacted. This was sort of the program, and everyone's pointing to it because all these people who I guess, in hindsight, you may not think should have gotten it, or maybe you want to change your mind and say they don't deserve it.
Right.
This was the program that said, no, we're going to step in and help everybody out. And the point to be made for all of it was we were trying to subsidize in a great form, employee wages to keep people from getting laid off.
Right.
That was the point of this program. And so even if you weren't going to shut down, the fact that we helped for 8 weeks was what the goal was.
Yeah.
And if you didn't use that money to accomplish it, you're not gonna get the forgiveness.
Thank you, Ashley. You made things very clear as always. Thanks for calling into the show and have a good rest of your day. And keep us posted.
Oh, thanks for having me, Anna. Always. Have a good one.